It is well with my soul. We can say what is the title of my message today. Do not fear. That is the message of Paul to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I invite you to turn there with me, follow along, take a few notes of your own as we look together at this very timely message for this hour in which we live this very day. Let's admit it. The coronavirus has made many people fearful. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, and I quote, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. It is interesting how that term sound mind is variously translated. One translation calls it self-control. Another calls it sound judgment. Still another calls it self-discipline. But God has given us as believers three resources that we should be using right now so that we are not fearful in the midst of this coronavirus epidemic. The context of this verse is that the Apostle Paul was writing young Timothy, who was a pastor at that time. And Timothy was panic-stricken. It was even affecting him physically, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23. He had stomach problems. His stomach was tied in knots. Maybe some of you feel that way today. Anxiety has just gripped your heart as you're fearful about today and you don't know what the future holds. And so it was in light of this that Paul said to Timothy, listen, young man, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you, number one, power. During this pandemic, we need to now more than ever rely upon the power of prayer. Paul said it this way in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. He said, be anxious for nothing. Let's stop right there. A lot of us, let's admit it, are filled with anxiety. We are worrying about what's going to happen today, tomorrow, and out there in the coming week and weeks to come, if not months to come. And I want you to know today that you don't have to fear if your faith is in the Lord God, because you have access to Him through the power of prayer. Again, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing. I want to key in on that word nothing. It didn't say be anxious for nothing except the coronavirus. It didn't say be anxious for nothing except your concern for your family. It didn't say be anxious for nothing except your diligent watching of the stock market going up and down. It says be anxious for absolutely nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer, through the power of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God. Oh, that's what we want today, isn't it? His peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, dear friend, rely upon the power of prayer. That's how the chronicler recorded it in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe a scripture for this hour in which we live. When he said, if my people, let's stop right there. God was talking to his people who had a special relationship with him. And so in our New Testament context, that means Christians carry the name of Jesus. We carry the name of Christ. And so to apply 2 Chronicles 7:14 to us today, if my people, who are called by my name, we are Christians carrying the name of Christ, will do something. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, see, there again is the power of prayer. You see, a lot of you have not used prayer as your first option. You're now using it today as your last resort. And the reason is because you've not done the first thing that 2 Chronicles 7:14 said, and that is you've not humbled yourself. In your pride, in your conceit, and in your arrogance, you thought you could handle everything on your own. You thought your financial portfolio was strong enough. You thought your plans for the future would take care of any possibility. But you didn't foresee this day. Prayer has not been a first option for you. It has been a last resort. And the reason is because you have been prideful. You have been arrogant. You have been conceited, trying to do things on your own without God. But again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, Christians, who are called by my name, will humble themselves, pray, the power of prayer, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, I've been doing a lot of praying since this coronavirus. And I'm not at the point yet where I want to say that this could be God getting our attention through bringing this difficulty into our lives. God judging us for our waywardness, for our sin, for our wickedness. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm almost there. And I want you to know the chronicler was there when he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Oh, dear friend, do a little spiritual inventory. If there's something in your life that does not belong there, God's trying to get your attention. Turn from that wicked way. And then he gives this promise. You know, it's always interesting to see these statements in Scripture that begin with an if as a condition. You meet this condition, and then it comes to the promise part, which is signaled by the word then. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then, here's the promise, then and only then, after you've done all that, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sins, and I will heal your land. That's what we need, physically and more importantly, spiritually. Our land, the face of this earth, not just the United States, but the face of this earth, is covered with illness, covered with the coronavirus. And we're praying, oh dear God, heal us from this malady. But the chronicler had another kind of healing in mind, spiritual healing. Oh dear God, forgive us. We've been so big in our own eyes. We've tried to handle everything on our own, not acknowledging you once as sovereign Lord and Savior over our lives. So God, we need revival. We need a great awakening. And maybe you have brought us to our knees financially, physically, socially, and otherwise, so that we would see our need of being spiritually healed. Oh, dear friend, Paul said to Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, the power of prayer. But he said he had given him something else. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. I love 1 John 4 because it speaks so much about love. And there is a verse in 1 John 4 that goes perfectly with 2 Timothy 1:7 and certainly applies to us in our situation today. 1 John 4:18 says, "Perfect love casts out fear." A wonderful resource we have today is the love of Almighty God. And just to read the rest of verse 18 in its context, I'll read it all together. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." What does that mean? It means that if you have not received the free offer of God's love and grace, you have every right to be fearful, coronavirus or not, because you are facing judgment. You are facing torment, to use the word that's here in verse 18. But perfect love, the love that put Jesus on the cross, casts out all fear. That's what verse 9 of 1 John says. It says, "In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." The same John would say it in another way, in another place. And we must rely upon the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And then know that that will cast out fear. That expression, perfect love, casting out fear, in the original language, cast out, is a picture of grabbing fear by the throat and throwing it out the window. Some of you sitting in front of your computer today, sitting in front of your TV today, are gripped by fear. Claim 1 John 4:18. And allow God to grab that fear by the throat that's in your living room or in your office and throw it out the window. That's what love does. Romans 5:8 says, "God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus loved you so much that 2,000 years ago, he looked down through the tunnel of time and he saw you. He saw me. And if you'd been the only lost person in all of human history that needed a Savior, he would have still come to die for you and for you alone. And that's why perfect love grabs fear by the throat and casts it out the window. On this issue of love, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. In response to God's love for us, we should love him. And verse 19 of 1 John 4 plainly says it this way: "We love him," we love God, "because he first loved us." How do we make this real? Pastor, how can I love God? You're doing it right now. You're worshiping God. That's the main way that we show our love to God, is by worshiping him. And as some of you have already done, or maybe yet to do, you worship him through your giving, which you can do online, or you can bring your gift by the church, or mail it in. But in giving, you're saying to God how grateful you are to him and how you want to serve him and serve others by giving in worship to him. You know, I'm afraid that God is getting our attention through this pandemic because some of us have not loved God. Oh, let's be honest about it. We've loved ourselves more than God. We've loved our homes and our cars more than God. We've loved our material things more than God. We've loved our stocks and bonds and savings accounts more than God. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had something to say about that. In Matthew 6, in verse 24, he said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And that is exactly what many of us have been doing up until this pandemic. We have been serving the God of materialism. We've been serving the God of the stock market. We've been serving the God of our financial portfolio. We've been serving the God of materialism. And we haven't been serving the God of the Bible. And God is a jealous God. He will share no loyalty with anyone else. And it could just be that right now, God is bringing us as His people and this nation to our knees to admit, "Dear God, I have been serving the God of materialism and not you. And I know now I can't serve two masters." Some of us right now during this pandemic are going to have to reorder our priorities and see who is really number one in our lives. And it's so interesting to read these words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount and see what follows this verse that I just read to you about not being able to serve two masters, not being able to serve God and serve materialism. Because the words that follow that in verse 25 are these: "Therefore I say to you, do not worry." That's exactly what some of you are doing. The reason you're worrying is because you've put all your trust and your confidence in the things that are breaking down around you right now. "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns." Step out your backyard right now and watch those birds. They're not worried about this coronavirus because they're praising God. God's taking care of them. Verse 27, "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Nor if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry." How many times has he said here, "Do not worry"? My count is three up to this point, but he's not finished. "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first," not second, not third, not 20th down the list, "but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And the last time he says, "Do not worry," is in verse 34. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You can't claim any of these verses about not worrying if you don't do what verse 24 says. And that's stop serving the Lord of this world and serving God. Because you can't worship two masters. Speaking of love, now more than ever, we need to look for opportunities to show our love to each other. 1 John 4:21 makes that abundantly clear. Still in that same passage of scripture on love, It moves from the subject of God loving us to us loving God. And then in 4:21, it says this: "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." It might be a challenge to love people the way they need to be loved in this time of crisis. There's so many limitations that have been put on us. But I want you to know, I can say this as your pastor, if you are suffering emotionally, if you're suffering spiritually, and you need someone to come to your home, call me. Call our staff. We'll come because we love you. Tomorrow in the afternoon, I'm going to a man's house, a man who's not a member of our church. He called last week. He's gotten some troubling news and just needed someone to come and encourage him, someone to pray for him. And so tomorrow afternoon, I'll be going to his home to show the love of the Lord God. And we stand ready and willing during this pandemic to minister God's love to you, however you need it. Just this last Thursday night, around 10:30, I stood by the deathbed of one of our older members, family gathered all around, and tried to minister the love of our church, and most importantly, the love of God to this dear soul. We cannot go in the hospitals. The hospital has been shut down to visits from folks like you, from our ministers. But you can call. You can call directly into the room of that person. You can write them a note. Every hospital has an excellent staff of chaplains. You can communicate with that chaplain and say, "Hey, my loved one, my fellow church member, my fellow Sunday school member is in the hospital. Could you please go by and minister to them, pray for them?" They'd be happy to do it. We're going to have to be creative in knowing how we can minister to each other and show our love to each other. But this is what promotes fearlessness in our lives. When we know that God loves us, and that our heart is in tune with him, and we have the right priorities, and that we love him supremely, and that we experience God's love amongst each other. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And then finally, of a sound mind. The different translations in our English language render that expression "sound mind" differently. Some call it self-control, some call it self-discipline, some call it sound judgment. All of them are right. And these are all things that we need during this pandemic. Speaking of self-control, some of you are going to have your self-control really challenged. Some of you already have. You're not used to having your kids home this long. Well, they're going to be home a couple of more weeks. And some of you aren't used to having your spouse at home. I mean, what's he doing here? He doesn't even have any sports to watch on TV. I mean, you can get really annoyed with people who are living with you as you're hunkered down in your home. And now, more than any other time, you need to have self-control. When you go out to the grocery stores, there, more than any other place, you need to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to show kindness. You need to have self-discipline. You need to have self-control and not get in these frays where lines are 72 people deep and you're needing toilet paper and they've run out and you're fighting someone for toilet paper. Have you seen these videos, people fighting for toilet paper in Costco? I hope they're not Christians, because they're letting fear grip their hearts and they're not living out this trait of self-control. Another way that that expression self-control or sound mind is rendered is sound judgment. You know, the last verse I'll read to you comes from the book of James. It speaks about having sound judgment in trying times. James chapter 1 says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Boy, if we were ever falling into various trials, it's right now. And he says to count it all joy. How can I count it all joy? That's crazy talk. What we're going through right now, count it all joy. If your faith is centered on Christ, you can count it all joy. And then it says in that same passage, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." If this crisis, if this pandemic has brought you to your wits' ends, you are double-minded. You have one foot in Christ and one foot in the pandemic. And you need to make sure that God will now give you a sound mind and sound judgment. And this is the promise of God. Jesus will bring stability to where there is instability. And he'll do that for you right now as we pray together. Dear Father, we bow before you. We use this opportunity to confess our sins to you, to turn from our wickedness, for worshiping the God of things, the God of materialism, the God of this world, and not putting you in your rightful place on the throne of our hearts. Father, we repent of that. Father, we repent of the fact that we have worried, we have been anxious, and we have not relied upon the power of prayer. Dear God, help us to depend totally upon you through our prayers. God, in all this, take our unstable emotions, our unstable and divided minds, and make them focus upon you, because you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you. I'll see you right here next week for live streaming video on Sunday, March 22nd. If you have a need, call us. Let us know, and we'll be happy to minister to you. Have a good rest of the week. God bless you.